kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I don't care if you're okay with it, CJ. You just gotta be okay. Fuck you.
It's any consolation. My life's going somewhat better.
I mean, congratulations.
I just had to flex on you real quick.
Look at all the fucks that she gives tonight.
Behold my garden of fucks, for it is barren.
With all the laughing, you'd think he would have pressed record already.
Oh, it's been recording, so I'm just going to get into this. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. As you can tell by the squeakiness, Cole's here. How are you doing?
I'm not here. This is the ghost of Cole's past. Merry fucking Christmas.
We're still 2 weeks away from that.
I don't care. It's close enough for government work.
I mean, it's close enough for all the stores.
Yeah, it's been Christmas, it's Halloween, goddammit.
Oh, and as you could tell, CJ, you are also here. How are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing a hell of a lot better than she is.
You gotta take your victories where you can get them, I guess.
It's the small things in life.
That's what she said.
Yeah, she did.
I didn't. Yes. I don't recall saying that.
Yes, she did. I am all too familiar with that.
Some of us have standards.
Good thing Long Ashley doesn't.
No, I mean, you have a size of sorts.
I am a girthy human being in all aspects. Is that TMI? Yeah, probably. Probably TMI.
No. Speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks. This show is off the rails from the beginning.
It really is.
It's a good thing, because there's like jack shit for news this week.
Oh, hallelujah.
I don't have much at all. This is going to be a fun recording, because we're going to do the news. We're going to do, CJ, you have a review to take care of, so we'll take care of that in a little bit. And then we're going to play some music, and then hopefully we'll come back and Cole will have a voice.
Oh, your hopes are way too damn high.
No, that's not happening.
This is day two of sounding like this already.
I imagine it might actually be worse tomorrow.
Tomorrow she'll just sound like this.
I would give anything for my voice to sound deeper. Like, that would be amazing. Because in my head, it sounds deep. And, well, not right now, it don't.
No.
But normally, like, my voice sounds so bassy. And then I hear the show playback. I'm like, who the fuck is this bitch? It's me.
It's me. I'm fucking with the equalizer, whatever it is, and I just raise the pitch on your voice.
That way he sounds more like a man.
I sound manly.
I don't just sound manly. I just sound like Paula Deen on helium.
Cole sounds like this.
That's a good imitation. I can't tell who's talking.
My throat hurts.
My throat doesn't even hurt. That's the worst part of it. I sound like this for no goddamn reason.
That makes no sense. You sound like you're dying.
I know. You and do. I have no other symptoms. I'm just hoarse.
You're just dying.
Yeah. Well, I cough a little bit. Like, I have a little bit of a chest cough. Like, if it weren't for the pneumonia vaccine. No, if it weren't for the pneumonia vaccine, I probably would be sitting in the hospital right now. There was like,
yay, we're laughing at sickness.
Yeah. There was one year where I had pneumonia like 5 times. And after that, they were like, yeah, you're getting the vaccine for the rest of your life.
Oh, Jesus.
They make one of those?
Yeah, I get it you're supposed to get it every 5 years, but because of my immune system, I get it every 3. And just like to boost it. But it doesn't stop you from getting pneumonia. It just makes it where if you get pneumonia, it's not as severe. And so like the rather than having pneumonia 5 or 6 times a year, I tend to only get it 2 or 3, and like I'm over it much quicker.
Oh, so much
sounds
better.
Sounds like a rip-off.
Rather than, you know, rocking in the hospital for 2 weeks like I used to. So
damn.
Yeah. I have no immune system. That's the chemo. Well, I don't even take the chemo anymore, but the biologic that I take kills my immune system too. So that's why I just catch everything coming and going. With 3 kids in school, it's just like my house is a germ factory.
Well, you've only got yourself to blame for the kids.
It's true. But it's like people make fun of me when they come into the house because I have this like the biggest bottle of Germex that you can possibly buy. I have that motherfucker sitting right by the door, and I'm like, you cannot come past that door until you clean your hands. I will bathe you in Germex. And I still end up like this a couple times, you know, at least once a month, at least.
Oh, man. What are we going to do with you?
Laugh at my misery.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we've been doing for the past 10 minutes.
Honesty is the best policy.
Good stuff.
This is going to turn into one of those podcasts like Loot where nothing actually gets talked about.
Well, I mean,
we're supposed to talk about shit.
I have like 4 bits of news that we could touch on, but I have like jack shit happened this week.
I have a bit, but I'm saving it for the end of the news.
Okay, well then I'll start off. The first bit of news this week: Star Wars Battlefront 2 is now in the EA Access Vault. So that's cool.
That's impressive. And it's a lot easier to get the completion in it right now because there's a glitch.
There's cheats.
Yeah.
Really?
So like, yeah, you can like get obscene amounts of XP per game right now if you use a glitch.
Sounds like Shiz probably already did.
I mean,
I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd do it. If I had the game, I don't even play Star Wars. I'd be like, here, just help me out.
I still have to do way too much on the first one to ever consider playing the second.
Well, it's a damn shame it doesn't have a glitch. There's games Joe hasn't played.
There's a lot of good games he hasn't played.
There's a lot of games in general I haven't played. Just because I have a shitload of games doesn't mean I've played a shitload of games. Just Cause has been sitting in my disc tray for the past, you know, week and a half waiting to be started up. And I'm just, every time I go to start it, something comes up and I haven't been able to play it yet.
And
that's one of those games where you just like need 8 hours to sit down and destroy shit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I feel like that one's more pick up and play than a lot of them, but it also doesn't help when he invests all of his free time in playing Rock Band. It's the only game he ever plays outside of review games.
Very close.
I play a lot of Rocket League, so.
I actually fluctuate in my games, but I also have a lot more free time because I don't review as much.
CJ, do you have a cup filled with ice or something?
I was about to point it out. It's my fault. I'm playing with it because it's fun.
Oh, my Lord. Well, on the bright side, one of my cats just took a dump, and it is unbelievably awful right now.
I understand the feels.
Oh, my God.
I thought my cat's litter boxes are in the bathroom.
Yeah, mine's tucked away.
Ours is a room away, but it's just, like, carrying in here, and it's like a wave hitting me.
Well, don't you have, like, 17 cats?
8. So you're close.
Close enough. That's still almost grounds for crazy cat lady.
I am a crazy cat lady.
That's beyond the grounds for crazy.
You know what? I think more than like 3.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
I have 2, and I'm like I'm good.
Well, you're also a crazy goat lady, or at least you were.
I don't have goats. I miss my goats so bad.
Okay, you're a crazy chicken lady.
To be fair,
that's true.
Calling somebody a goat lady just seems more insulting.
Oh, it just means I'm the greatest of all time. Thank you for acknowledging. You can't even come back at that one. You're just done for.
Yeah, I can't argue there. Let's see, what other news? Monster Hunter World is going to be getting a massive Iceborne expansion late next year, and then early next year they have a collaboration with The Witcher, where players will take on the role of Geralt of Rivia, once again voiced by Doug Cockle, and going on Witcher-inspired quests in the Monster Hunter World. So that is pretty awesome.
Whoa!
The hell is that reaction?
I was showing enthusiasm.
It was not well done.
That was the fakest enthusiasm I've
Whoa! I was just practicing for my bit later.
Whoa!
In all reality, like, as popular as Monster Hunter World was, I'm surprised it took this long for it to start getting DLC.
Yeah, you might say that they took a little too long and missed the mark.
Yeah. I don't know that it's going to hinder them, though, because the following for that game is they're pretty hardcore.
Are they still? I haven't.
Yeah, because they, even though they haven't done like a legitimate DLC, they've kept up with doing events and limited time monsters and stuff like that. So
yeah, I suppose I don't really have friends to talk to about games, so I don't really notice when they're still going.
You don't have friends. neither do I.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the fuck? All your friends are fake friends just to get free codes on a podcast.
Can't deny that one.
Was that too real?
Just a little. Cuts deep, CJ. That cuts deep.
I thought so.
And just remember, you just got a code for a game.
I'm not denying.
So you're one of those fake friends.
Oh, I know. I think it'd be creepy if we really were friends, because I'm like 20 and you're like 50.
Ouch.
God damn.
I'm joking.
That one cut a little bit deeper.
Was it the age thing?
You can't act like I'm not already a creepy guy since you did the show with me for how long?
Oh, I know. And it's not like every time you turned up the show, it's just like, and now it's time to grab the loot.
Hey, little boy, what are you playing these days?
I'd always be like, just give me the codes.
Nothing, Mr. Code Man. What are you playing? What do you want me to play?
I don't like that.
This is a second turn toward the creepy. And I can say that even though I sound like this.
And Joe is not helping his image at all.
Not at all. I don't have an image. What kind of image do I need to put on? Who am I trying to impress?
You have an image. It's just not a fake one.
It's just not a good one.
Honesty's the best policy.
Yeah. So yeah, Monster Hunter. I think it's cool that they're going to have a crossover with The Witcher. I love when games do crossovers. It's such a cool concept to me that, you know, these different universes coming together and we get to play them. It's like 2B from Nier Automata is going to be in, what is it, Soul Calibur next week, I think.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was a Devil May Cry crossover with Monster Hunter already, too. You could get Dante.
That's cool.
As your Monster Hunter, which is pretty hardcore. But, yeah, it's impressive. I just wish it hadn't took them so long to do it, because it's, like, it's legitimate DLC with actual new quest lines and stuff.
Yeah, and that's still, like, a year away for the Iceborne expansion.
It is. It's a good chunk of time, and it's going to be tough to keep everybody on board. I mean, they've done okay, but most games usually have DLC within 2 to 3 months of release. So,
well, we'll see how well it works for them. I don't think they're going to have a problem with people playing it, because Monster Hunter fans, they are hardcore. They will play that game forever.
Oh, yeah. I just think that there's the potential for more drop-off than they would have liked if they had pushed it a little sooner.
Maybe they were waiting to see the reception of the game and how well it did in its first year before they wanted to commit to any kind of, you know, work on DLC.
I mean, that's the, you know, inevitable conclusion, and I think it's probably pretty head-on, but I hope it doesn't negatively affect them in the end, because I do think if people are enjoying a game as much as people seem to be enjoying Monster Hunter World, then they at least deserve DLC that they, you know, to add on to that game and keep them playing it. So I'd hate for them to be like, oh, well, it took us a year and a half to get out the new DLC and only 2,500,000 people played it. And so that's not enough.
2,500,000 is 2.5 million.
That's sore throat redneck math. But in all reality, though, like they, you could have 57 million people playing and they be like, woe is us, it's not enough for our shareholders. And you not see anything else.
Yeah.
I think I just finally gathered what she sounds like. It sounds so similar to something, but I couldn't put my finger on it until now.
Minnie Mouse on helium?
No, I'm actually thinking that pervert from Family Guy.
Oh, God.
There's a pervert on Family Guy. I don't know. I've never watched Family Guy.
The oiled up guy?
No, the old man.
Oh, the old dude. All right, with the whistle when he talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has a hard-on for Chris.
Which makes no sense.
Hey, he likes the young boys. What are you going to do?
I mean, the fat ones, though. Why?
I don't know.
Everybody's got Chubby their chasers. Kink. Don't kink shame.
I wish more people had the fat kink.
I mean, it's worked for David for 18 years. He don't seem to mind.
Hey, I got married, so there's people out there for everyone.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, man.
If there's any evidence in the world.
There's don't a give shoe up, man. You're for young. Every foot and a sock for every cock.
Thanks for those analogies.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. So what kind of dream crossover would you like to see in a game?
Fortnite in every single game.
Oh, God.
No.
Was that the ironic answer you brought me in for, since I'm the one that appeals to the younger generation?
Oh yeah, you're our young audience skewing co-host of the week, I guess.
What's up, gamers? Let's get this bread.
What's up, brah? Yo, it's your boy here. We're ready for some new tips and tricks.
You already know who this is.
Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and get all the notifications and. What the fuck do they say?
Like this, don't forget to plug your merch.
Yeah, merch is in the description.
But you can't check plug it out your merch, so you can channel. Plug my merch. Go when, buy my shit.
When the hell is your coloring book coming out, for God's sake?
I got my monitor hooked up yesterday with the new computer, and I sat and drew 14 dicks last night. I got them all inked. I have 14 of them ready to go. And so I just got to get the other ones finished up. And well, I drew them all in pen and paper.
Are they at least detailed?
Yeah. And then they were costumes. they're Halloweenies.
Halloweenies for Cocktober.
Yeah, for Cocktober. And so I drew them all out. So what I've done is I've scanned them. And now that I could actually use my decent computer and actually draw shit properly without drawing a line and waiting 6 months for it to render, I can actually go in and I'm inking everything digitally so that it has nice, good, clean lines as opposed to my sketchy, inky ones. And so I've just been turning everything into digital sketches. And then after I do that, everything gets turned into a PDF. And then I have to send the PDF off for proofing. And then it comes back, and while it's off proofing, I can design my front and back covers. And then once the proofs are good to go, then you will be able to order it that day.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Buy my dick coloring book.
I'll have your dick coloring book, and you'll have my shirt.
Yay.
Or one of those seems like it'll be much higher quality. Thanks, Internal.
The book.
Oh, obviously.
Hey, I think the shirts came out pretty well.
They did. I actually like wearing it, you know, in my house where I'm not in public.
I wear mine in public. I wore mine to my doctor's office, and then I had to explain to her what it was.
See, that's why I don't wear it.
Yeah, I was like, let's just do a podcast. Oh, yeah, what about games?
Games and dicks for some reason.
And sometimes dicks. But I like to leave that part off because I have an interesting reputation around here as, like, the, you know, the curly ginger-haired soccer mom. And, like, people here don't realize just how often I use the F-bomb in a day.
Nice.
Yeah.
They need to learn more about you.
Oh, Tom says that there's something wrong.
Oh, shit. It's still listed as Rock Band. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I always forget to change that.
Fix your shit.
Bruh, call back to when I told you you played too many Rock Bands.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, the Rock Bands.
Okay, I updated it. Like, anyone listening to this gives a shit.
yeah, and like the three viewers.
Hey, four. I'm up to four. Listen, man, there was one night I had like eight.
We were popular.
We were.
Oh, God.
Hey, Matt's in the chat, so what's up, Avenged Immortal?
We dream of a day when we break double-digit viewers.
Hey, it's happened before on interviews, so.
It's true.
Well, yeah, because somebody else is here and they actually want to watch them.
Because the people being interviewed come too.
Yeah. Hey, you have 101 followers. You're just like the wizards and pirates out there.
No, I'm following 101 people. I have 850 followers. Mm-hmm. So suck a dick, CJ.
Certainly more impressive than the 101.
Yes. Speaking of 101 people, there were significantly more than 101 people that watched the Game Awards. There were over 26 million live streams for the Game Awards.
Wow.
That was a good transition.
Yeah, I try. I've been working on this.
Them segues, though.
The Game Awards were watched more than the Emmys and the Golden Globes and were less than 500,000 viewers away from the 2018 Oscars in viewership. That is crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Just goes to show that gaming's the real medium that actually matters out there.
Nerds matter.
Nerds definitely. Nerds rule the world. We really do.
Yeah.
Came a long way since that nerd revenge movie thing from the 80s. I can't reference that because I'm not old enough. Remember, I appeal to the young audience.
It's your boy here.
Yo. God.
What's the cool hip movie that kids talk about these days?
Let me look that up real quick.
You're the cool hip kid. You're supposed to know this shit.
He's not cool hip kid. He's actually typing on a keyboard instead of using his iPhone.
No, that
XR.
Was a new. That was a new mechanical keyboard from Razer. So shut it.
Little do we know, CJ's actually like a 44-year-old man.
Anyway,
he's been lying this entire time.
I have the information you guys were asking for. The most popular movie in 2018 this year is The Matrix.
No.
Okay.
I think you lied to us.
No.
Is that the year you were born?
What year did that movie come out? No, 1 year after. I was a lie.
Fuck.
Oh my God.
I saw that in theaters.
Oh my God.
You know, everybody still loves Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he doesn't age. He's a vampire.
I'm okay with that.
And Lawrence Fishburne.
Like, Keanu Reeves still looks like the Keanu from Speed to me.
Speed? Now, that's something that's really popular with kids right now.
I thought it was the Adderalls.
No, we like a lot of things.
Okay.
Xanax.
The Xannies.
You gotta have an... You can't have an upper and a downer. You gotta pick one or the other.
No, not this generation, trust me.
That's just asking for a heart attack.
They just shovel handfuls of pills in their mouth, and whatever works.
That's the plan.
Yay.
Goddamn whippersnappers don't even know how to get high right.
In my day, we got high on cocaine.
Well, if you want to know, it's because it's your fault. Yes, you guys had to screw up this world so much.
Snorted. I say all this like I'm not a millennial.
I know. Joe isn't.
In my day, we snorted pixie sticks and we liked it.
That explains a lot.
Have you ever snorted a pixie stick?
No.
Okay, me neither. Some classmates of mine did, though, because they were fucking weird.
I don't imagine it accomplished much more than giving yourself a nose burn.
I don't know. Whatever makes them happy, I guess. I don't judge.
Sugar high.
I have chronic nosebleeds, and I had to have my nostrils cauterized as a kid, so kind of the last thing I wanted to do is shove something in there.
Yeah, I was close to having my nostril cauterized a couple years ago. I was getting a lot of bad nosebleeds, but I survived.
I just said that you have a lot of problems.
Yeah. It's true.
That is unlucky.
I love how every few minutes there's just new noises in the background for CJ.
Look, I keep it pumping. There's a party behind me.
There's one that sounds like a dot matrix printer. He's not old enough to even know what a dot matrix printer is.
Is it a printer from the Matrix?
No. I broke Joe. Bye, just Joe.
I'm still here.
It was nice to know you, Joe.
Let's see. Last bit of news that I have for this week is that Metro Exodus has gone gold and is now releasing a week early on February 15th instead of the 22nd. So instead of going head-to-head with Anthem, it's now going head-to-head with Far Cry, Jump Force, DOA 6, and Crackdown.
February sounds like a bad month to release.
I guarantee you we're going to get to the end of January, and there's going to be about 74% of those that are going to push back.
I mean, we already lost Days Gone. What else moved out of February? Yeah, that's in like May now or April.
May.
Rage 2.
That sounds like a good idea and a safer bet at this point.
Yeah.
Although Rage 2 has nothing to worry about. It's Bethesda. All they have to worry about is their company shutting down before everybody gets their canvas bags.
They're gonna pull a Telltale.
We can't afford to make the canvas bags. Let's just dip.
Yeah, they're gonna pull a Telltale and go tits up. Everybody's gonna be like, didn't see that coming. And the rest of us are gonna be like, yeah, we did.
It's all about those bags.
I mean, they're getting sued, so it's pretty bad.
Are they getting sued?
They are.
Yeah, there's a class action lawsuit against them now.
Because they already came out and said that they were going to be making the canvas bags.
Well, I don't know if that was a response to the lawsuit or if it might have been. Yeah, that might be their way of trying to settle it.
Like, fine, we'll give you your goddamn bags. You could keep all your Xanax in.
Dude, canvas bags are perfect for drugs, let me tell you.
All right, CJ, what was the news that you had?
All right, let me get into character.
Into character.
Whoa! This is CJ with some crazy millennial news, except I'm a part of the next generation that nobody fucking knows what it is, so we just
punch
ourselves in you.
You're Gen Z.
Fuck off. Anyway.
I know, thanks.
The news I have for this generation, because we're super hype, is that stuff probably happened in Fortnite this week. Thanks for the update. Back to Joe.
That was really helpful.
No, but here's the thing. Now you can hashtag or whatever the thing is.
Hashtag Fortnite.
Yeah, you can put in your tags Fortnite because we talked about it and we'll get more views.
Oh, yeah.
There actually is something with Fortnite, though.
What?
I mean, it did actually get an update.
I know the real news. So the Fortnite creative is now available for everybody, which we knew was going to happen. It was going to be exclusive for a week to the people that bought the Battle Pass, and then it was available for everybody. But now Epic Games has also announced that they're releasing that frame, their cross-platform framework for everybody to use. It's available to all developers for free.
That's cool.
Yes. Yeah, so it's actually good news.
It's one of those, like, it's a double-edged sword. Because you don't want them creating a monopoly of cross-platform framework. But it's pretty cool that they're making it available to people who might not have otherwise had it available to them because now it's there and it's free.
Yeah. Now we just need Sony to stop being pricks about cross-play and open it up to everything. Apparently, we talked about this from the Game Awards that Dauntless was coming to console in April on Xbox and PS4. It's apparently going to have crossplay across all platforms.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. And it's supposed to hit Switch later next year as well, and that'll be included in it. If that's legit and if Sony's on board with another crossplay game, maybe they are, you know, starting to open up and maybe we'll see more games get crossplay.
And the interesting thing about the crossplay announcement from Epic Games is that they're hollering, oh, now it's available for every developer for free. But they swooped in on Ashen, and because of them throwing money at Ashen, it lost its play anywhere and cross play.
It sounded more and more depressing as you continued the sentence.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw that, you know, happen just last week. We talked about it after the Game Awards, where when Asher was released, it was supposed to have been Xbox Play Anywhere, and it was supposed to be cross-play, and because of Epic Games stepping in, it released simultaneously on the Epic Games Store, and it didn't have those features. So, is that something we're going to see happen more? If Epic Games keeps sticking their finger in the crossplay pot.
Well, the developers of Ashen, or no, the publisher of Ashen, Annapurna, already came out and said that Play Anywhere is going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
So whenever it releases on the Windows 10 store, it will be Play Anywhere.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. But it was ripped out on launch.
Yeah, which was shitty.
And I don't want to see other developers fall into that trap.
Yeah.
That's not good marketing.
Not at all.
So.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Anyone else have any other news?
I think I'm good. I think I got enough of my news for kids.
Your millennial news update with your pound signs.
I had more millennial news than CJ.
No,
you did.
Okay.
But here's the thing. If it wasn't for me, it wouldn't have happened.
You did remind me.
Bruh.
That's a good point.
Yeah, No Time Saying, still no word on the Xbox Onesie production. I know that was supposed to go on sale a couple weeks ago. And like there the day before it happened, they said that there was an issue with production and it was being put on hold.
You got to give them credit, though, for being honest about it. Being like, look, it wasn't up to par. Yeah. We weren't going to sell you something second rate. So kudos to them for at least realizing that their product wasn't going to be what it should have been. Because I have no doubt that those things are expensive. I've bought onesies for my 14-year-old. I know how much that shit costed. So
how much did it costed?
$49.
Damn.
Ouch. Yeah. For a junior's onesie. And also, I was going to get onesies for the other girls this year. I was going to get them all a set of unicorn onesies. And after I totaled it up, I was like, yeah, I'm not paying $150 for unicorn onesies. Sorry,
fair enough.
My niece wants to get a mermaid tail to swim for Christmas. Like, they make mermaid tails that you wear swimming?
Mm-hmm. They have mermaid tail blankets, too. Those are actually pretty cool.
These days.
Yeah.
I know, right? Fucking hate them.
Sons of bitches all
I
of
mean,
them.
I love kids, and this is why I do the updates.
Might want to watch the wording there, CJ.
Okay, fair enough. To go back on my statement, I actually really hate kids, though, for real. Like, keep them away from me. If you have kids, we can't be friends until they're at least, like, 12.
That's it's, why I have
it's
cats.
It's like so much between me and you, CJ. Number three is going to be six.
Oof.
Next week. So she's...
Good thing I never considered us friends anyway.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, it was just like...
CJ is brutal tonight.
Rad.
I know. It's my new work environment. I've just learned to be very mean to everybody.
CJ's like, fuck everyone.
It's because I have to be so fake nice to everybody at work that it's just like, when I get home, I just let it all out.
You are brutal.
All right.
So yeah, you heard it from CJ. He only wants to hang out with 12-year-old kids.
Yep.
Fuck off.
That's about right.
I hate kids.
You said unless they're 12, you want to hang out with 12-year-olds.
No, I said I can't be friends with people that have anybody under 12 as a family member.
So you'll only hang out with 12-year-olds.
Not the Got point it. I was making.
That is the point I am inferring.
The point is that anybody under 12 literally makes no sense and can't form words properly, and I can't stand talking to them.
Oh, no. We just got hosted for 9 viewers. Oh, shit. We have to be entertaining.
Sorry. Are we over 10? Are we in double digits now?
I think
so.
Shit.
Well, it still says 4, but we're going to get there. We'll get there. Okay. It'll update.
And then it'll immediately drop.
It'll drop back down to 4.
Those non-people are just going to be like, we made quite the mistake.
This was a drastic mistake coming over here, but thank you, Chris, for the host.
Oh, that guy. Okay, cool.
No, different Chris.
No, which one? They all exist.
Different,
there's a lot.
Different Chris than any that you know.
Well, you don't know that. I know a lot of Chris's. There's a lot of them out there.
You don't know her, so.
Okay, I don't, because.
There you go. So, CJ, what have you been playing since you've been around the last time?
Well, I certainly tell you it wasn't my review games. I'm joking. Dick.
Go see how many achievements he has in them.
I'm trying to make conversation here, since we have people watching. I'm trying to make conversation. So what have you been playing?
Well, went back to... Okay. Well, first of all, I've been playing Forza Horizon 3 still a lot. I'm almost done with it. I have 2 achievements left.
Nice.
Super excited. And then I went back to Defiance, and I'm loving it again on 360, because 2050 sucks. But
what's the difference with 2050? Why does it suck?
Well, they changed the leveling system, first of all, but mostly just because, like, it's apparently broken. I haven't played it myself because I don't want to, because I've heard how broken it is. And also, they have 5 unobtainable achievements where all of them work on the 360, so I just played the 360 version.
Makes sense.
Even though, funny enough, the achievements are the same exact achievements. Like, the list just got transferred over, but some were removed, yet they managed to break them in the Xbox One version.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's not impressive considering it's Tryon, and they always fuck things up. That's why I'm glad they stopped updating the 360 version. It kind of works right now, so just leave it alone. Don't touch it, please. Please don't.
I still regret the fact that I bought that game brand new.
Yeah, that was a bold choice. I got it for like $20 a few months later.
I bought the $150 edition from GameStop.
Now that's...
Why do you hate yourself?
And it's still not the worst purchase I've made.
No, it's not.
I still say, you know, I have the Defiance, the stupid collector's edition that came with the messenger bag. That bag is still really cool, by the way. I still use it all the time. I have the Duke Nukem Forever collector's edition. I have Aliens Colonial Marines collector edition. And still, the worst purchase I have ever made to date, Guitar Hero Live. I hate that game so much.
Fair enough.
Didn't we talk about that last week or the week before?
Probably, but I will never pass up a chance to shit on Guitar Hero Live because I hate that game so much.
I don't think I have a purchase I incredibly regret.
Nothing at all?
I mean, there's definitely games that I regret putting on my tag, but that doesn't necessarily mean I purchased them.
What do you regret playing? What do you regret starting up?
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, that's for sure. I don't like Battle Royale, but unfortunately, I had played it while it was Game Pass, you know? Game Preview. It's like, there was no achievements at the time. I figured there was no issue. Most developers, even if they do unlock retroactively, you have to launch the game first. This was not the case for that. It just unlocked immediately, as soon as the achievement list
was. Good.
Which just locked me into playing a game I hate.
In your face.
Good.
And then I regret purchasing Hybrid because I bought it and then didn't play it. And then by the time I went to play it, the servers were dead on the 360.
What's Hybrid?
Exactly.
There we go.
It was a third-person shooter that looked kind of like Halo, but the entire combat was like the movement system. You didn't actually get to freely move. You would just dash from platform to platform. And you'd be behind cover. It was a weird, weird game.
That sounds weird.
It was weird, and it didn't last very long. But it was only a $5 arcade game.
Oh, that's not that bad, then.
No, I don't... I mean, I regret buying Monster Hunter World because I still haven't played it, and I bought it when it released for the $70.
Why did you pay $70 when it's only $60?
Because I got the edition with the extra shit.
Yeah, that'll do it. I thought maybe you went to Canada to get the game.
No, I went there to get the weed.
Hell shiz to mail the good stuff down.
I'm not allowed to smoke anymore. I'm about to get a new job, and I had to pass a drug test on Tuesday.
Ew, luckily, that's gross.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's a good paying job, better than mine anyway. So hopefully I'm going to be getting another new job soon and then quit that one that I have.
Hey, Chris just subbed to the show, so thank you so much, Chris, for subbing. We appreciate you. I am thrilled that you subbed.
Oh my god. That is awesome. Thank you so much. You're so fucking kind.
CJ's a dick. You can ignore him.
No, I'm being very CJ's genuine. It's just I'm just doing my big mouth impression of Lola.
Cole, what about you? Any games that you regret picking up, Cole?
Realistically, I buy so few games that usually when I get one, I'm pretty happy with it. I can't think of anything that I've paid for and been like, well, that was a bad idea.
Exactly. Generally, if I don't like a game, it's because I got it for free or in a sale that it was so cheap that it's insignificant that I bought it anyway.
Well, following CJ's lead, are there any games that you fired up that you regret playing?
She's a reviewer, Joe. Please.
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
As long as it's not on the show tonight.
it's not tonight. There's been a few over the years that I've taken for review, and I've just sat down with my head in my hands and thought, why do I do this to myself?
Was one of them Horse Racing 2016?
No, you cannot shit on Horse Racing 2016.
Yeah, I mean, my bad. That game is incredible. It combines the best elements of gaming, spamming the A button and breaking your forearms.
That was definitely one of my low points. And I always try to find the good when I'm reviewing a game. And so even the ones that I just really fucking hate, I'm like, oh, it's okay. It has its perks, or it has this, or it has that. But there's a couple where finding that high point is just really fucking hard.
Yeah. Plutobi.
Plutobi was, And Uncanny Valley was one of the first ones I gave a deny it to. And I felt so bad about it because it's really not a bad idea as far as the game goes. But the art style compared with the type of gameplay it was miserable. And I was just so miserable playing it. And it's like an hour long completion and I can't bring myself to reinstall it to finish it.
Pixels and horror games don't mesh.
They really don't. And
especially from a 2D perspective, too.
And it's one of those where, like, you're trying to play it on a big screen. Now, like, maybe on a phone or something that's small where the pixels, like, the 8-bit looking pixels aren't an inch by an inch, you know?
Holy shit. Chris just cheered 1,000 biddies. Thank you so much, Chris. You are... I don't know why you are so kind to us tonight, but thank you so much for your support.
Chris, you officially have earned the title Better Than Joe.
Yeah.
I think that's the most we've ever had cheered at once.
That is the most. I think I've had 500 before, but that's the first 1,000 I've seen. That's a cool looking gem, too.
Yeah, it really is.
So what? That's like equal to...
$10.
$10. Yeah. Okay.
So, again, thank you so much for your support. It means so much to me. It really does.
It really is appreciated.
It means a lot to Joe.
CJ appreciates nothing.
What? I don't get
it. CJ's an ungrateful son of a bitch. That's what CJ.
Where's my portion of the
$10? You got it. Why do I care?
He got it for free anyway. I get paid in promotion.
The only reason you're getting that game is because I already bought it.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. I've had a few of those.
Oh, I'm sure. Do you know why I'm reviewing games on Steam? Because nobody else wants to take them. That's why he keeps sending them my way.
Oh, because what? Cole has a computer now.
I did. Okay. And it's so fancy and pretty, and it was cheap as shit.
But you know she's a lazy person. She's not going to want to play it on that when she could play it on her casual console.
I already played one game.
Well, what was it? Fucking
TikTok?
I can't talk about it because it's NDA. We have an interview coming up.
It was a Facebook clicker game.
I think it's on open beta now. Actually,
is it open beta? Oh, it was called TikTok.
We can say what the name is.
And I played it, and my computer did beautifully, even though it's...
You're not allowed to say anything about it.
No, my computer... I could say anything I fucking want about my computer.
No, you're not.
I mean, I bought it for super cheap on the Facebook Marketplace, and the guy was like... He said, it runs one Fortnite. And I was like, well... I don't give a fuck if it runs Fortnite.
I just want it to run a bunch of indie horror games.
Yeah, I was like, I just need it to run indie, some small horror games, and I need to be able to use it to draw dicks. And the guy was like,
win-win.
And he just like kept going, okay, but it only has this, and it only has that. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand. What I am trying to tell you is that you could hand me a potato with a window sticker on it, and it is going to be a dramatic improvement over what I am currently on. And so he's like, well, if you're sure you're good with it, I'm like, I'm good with it.
Why is he trying to backpedal his own sale?
I think he thought that I wasn't smart enough to realize that it wasn't like top of the line.
Oh, it's because you're a woman.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
And
he had to mansplain it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just like, he kept going, okay, now it's only got this much. I can see that. I can see the picture of the inside. I know exactly what's in it. So
he's like, listen here, little girl. I want to tell you that the monitor
but is separate from the computer.
You have to plug it in. Do you know what a cable is?
My other computer was an all-in-one, so the monitor wasn't separate, and so this is an upgrade.
There you go.
The sad upgrade.
But it's an i5. Okay, but it's only a second gen i5. And I knew that, but it's still an upgrade over the Intel Celeron I had. And, you know, he's like, well, it has a graphics card, but it's just an AMD Radeon. And I'm like, okay, but I didn't have a graphics card. It's still an upgrade. You don't understand. I realize that for a hardcore gamer, they're going to turn their nose up at this $350 computer, but I am happy as a pig in shit right now.
And oh, I'm really definitely, my nose is super like 90 degrees up.
I'm sure of it, but that's okay. But I paid $350.
Actually, 90 degrees would be a perfectly normal nose. Okay, 180 degrees.
Don't go out without an umbrella or you're going to drown. So, but, you know, I got a monitor, I got a gaming keyboard, I got a gaming mouse, I got the computer, and all I'm using it for is to draw dicks, and I'm happy.
That's joy in life.
Really is. Like, the first thing I did was set my graphics monitor up and draw a dick. I was so happy. I'm like sitting there drawing penises going, David, look, I'm happy. And I didn't sound it just like this because I've been sick. And so I'm just like, penises for days. And then I stopped and I think I drew a bird.
And you get a dick penises. And you get a dick and you get a dick.
Everybody's getting penises. Chris is really regretting her decision to support the show right now. Not everybody
or
gets
maybe,
a penis.
Or maybe. That was just their way of informing you that they want an early copy of your
coloring book.
Do you want to pre-order the Cocktober coloring book?
I feel like you missed your mark on the Cocktober.
Well, they were Cocktober drawings. I drew them all in October. But
well, now you're going to have to wait until next year before it's a seasonal item again.
Yeah, but that's okay because everybody else wants it anyway.
Like, well, you don't have to call it a Cocktober book. You could just call it an adult coloring book.
Yeah.
That's boring.
I was really trying to like push it before the end of Halloween or October because I wanted to call it Halloweenies, but I missed out on that boat. I might still call it Halloweenies because they're all fucking wearing costumes anyway. And I don't care if you buy it in December or October. Just give me money for dicks.
Illustrated by Eternal Rage Ing Boner.
Yeah. I got kids to buy Christmas presents for, so buy my dicks.
Well, get it made, get it produced, and we'll
working on it. I cannot wait for it to be done.
We will pimp it out on the show.
Yay.
We'll get pre-orders up and running. We'll tweet out about it.
Yay.
I'll take my cut.
And with all of that, I have one tip for you, and it's not a
tip.
Just this is the millennial tip for your book. You should just call it NBA Dick Boy. Okay? And then you have to draw one that has herpes on it because, you know.
I don't understand this reference.
You wouldn't. It's for young people.
I don't get it either.
It's a rapper who has herpes. Genital variety.
Okay.
I would assume most rappers have genital herpes, Steven.
Well, that's a strong assumption.
I mean, have you ever listened to a rap song?
I mean, Joe has rap songs. Do you think he has genital herpes?
I didn't. Joe, do you have? Did you? Are you a rapper, Joe? And I don't know.
I don't want to talk about this. This is an old stage of my life. I've played songs on the show before, so they exist out there. They're just not good. That's I don't know. Like a couple of them are decent.
Now you're gonna have to play one at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
No, I already have. We're doing the changeover to Christmas music with this episode. So,
well, didn't you make a new Christmas song?
Oh God, no.
I can make you a beat. I have FL Studio.
Yeah. Okay, make a beat, and I'll do a new song.
I'll make a Christmas themed.
Make a Christmas beat, and I'll write to it.
This is only gonna delay your review by 6 weeks. Yeah.
And then it would be too late for a Christmas song. Speaking of reviews, we should probably get to those, huh?
Yeah, eventually.
Yes.
Some people have to work in the morning.
All right. Well, CJ, we'll take care of your review first because that's how this show is being laid out and edited. So first game to talk about tonight is called Dusk, developed by David Zemanski, published by New Blood Interactive, released December 10th out of Steam Early Access for $20, but is on sale until the 17th for $16.66. Battle through an onslaught of mystical backwater cultists, possessed militants, and even darker forces as you attempt to discover just what lurks beneath the earth in this retro FPS inspired by the 90s legends. CJ, you previewed this one quite a while ago. It is now out of early access. How is it?
I don't remember anything I said about it before. I have a short-term memory, but I know the one thing I have to say about this game is Dusk.
Okay.
It's a young person reference again. I'm sorry.
We're old. We're dying. You got to remember that.
Oh, I know. That's why I need to get this review going soon, because otherwise, you know, you guys are going to pass. Anyway, so basically...
Fuck you.
Want me to hit him with my cane?
Yes.
Come over here, CJ.
Do you have enough power to lift that anymore? Anyway.
No, that's what David's for.
All right. Dusk is a game where it is basically a... Well, that's exactly what the description says. That's why I hate that you read the descriptions, because it just tells you exactly what the game is and ruins the point of me describing it.
I can't help it. I used to not read the descriptions, and then it was too hard to explain what some of them were, so I started adding the descriptions. So
fair enough. Fucking
deal with it.
So I'm going to reiterate everything it said, but change its words like I'm in high school again.
Go ahead.
So basically, this is an FPS that's retro. It's inspired by 90s games.
Cite your sources.
Yeah, no, I'm changing the words. I'm changing the words. Shh. And you have to fight mystical frontwater cultists. Military people who are rude and mean dark things. Anyway, I had to change it. Anyway, the real review starts now, so you can just, if you like the actual game, like, here's the part where it starts. It's good. It's really, 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 really good. Like, wow good. Basically, it's split up into three campaigns or episodes, kind of like Doom, except Doom had a few more. But basically, that's the concept, is that you start they're called episodes, and it's basically 10 little missions within each episode. And you just play through them. They all have a consistent story that's just basically locked into the thing and or the one episode. And that one episode kind of has a theme throughout it. And then the next episode has a little bit different of a theme. It all continues in a storyline, but the themes are very different per level. So like in the first level, it's mostly in either underground or in farmland. Like there was a couple of scenes with corn mazes, ugh, and weird scarecrow things that like half the time they don't come off their thing and scare you, and then the other half of the time they come off with a shotgun and just start shooting you, so you never know when to expect one to be real or not. This game is shockingly horror-like. Like it's constantly building anticipation, and every time you turn around and there's an enemy that just got released, and it just scares the shit out of you every time. Like even though you know to expect this because it's this game, it's still, with the music, it builds up so much anticipation that it still scares the fuck out of you every time you see something new.
Nice.
And I like it for that, but I also hate it for that because I don't like horror games. And so it's like, whatever, at least mine doesn't drag on the floor.
Mine doesn't either. I had C-sections. Fuck you.
Well, it was more so an age thing. Anyway.
Anyway.
I wonder how many times anyway has been said in this. Anyway.
Speaking of dicks.
No, but seriously, I mean, and then you get into the second level, or I might be confusing this with the third, but it's basically like a city landscape where you're fighting through buildings and office areas, that kind of stuff. And it's just an insane game, and I don't know what was in the third one because I didn't get enough time to get into that one, unfortunately. We don't all have time to beat every game.
He didn't finish the game.
Oh, like you finish any of your games.
Finish most of them, actually.
Well, you also have more time than I do.
I usually, the only time I like don't finish is if it's like super hard or it hurts my hands.
Oh, this game. Oh, speaking of difficulty, this game is easy.
It's easy, and you didn't finish it. He's Fard.
I just don't have time. Yeah, shut up. Learn to speak.
Okay, Mr.
Am I going to have to separate you two?
But no, it's not actually easy. It depends on the difficulty. You have quite a few difficulties. You can make this game completely impossible for yourself by selecting the masochist difficulty, which means that you get killed in one shot, and nice. It's very hard to avoid hits. Or you can make it as easy as you want by, I guess... Okay, so the way the description of the difficulty accessible makes it look is that it would be like normal, because it says accessible is good for any player with any skill. So I was like, I chose that difficulty thinking it was normal. But it seems like it's actually the easiest difficulty in the sense that you start with 200 health instead of 100.
Hmm.
Which, and the hits only take, I mean, it depends on the enemy, but it still doesn't take very much damage away from you. It's a weird thing where I think accessible is actually supposed to be the easiest difficulty, where you're just able to play through the game and kind of experience it without having to really worry about failing.
I like when games include difficulties like that, because not everyone is a masochist that wants to put up with crazy difficulty. Sometimes you just want to experience what the game has to offer.
Well, exactly. That was like my complaint with the last game I reviewed, is that it was a permadeath game, and it's like, well, this isn't fun if you can't get past the first part because you can't experience the game. I like a game where you can experience it all even if you're not good at games. I mean, I wouldn't have chose this difficulty if I had known that it was like this. But that being said, I did enjoy my playthrough with this one, so I still enjoyed my time. I just didn't expect it to be so easy to play. The enemies, they have a pretty good variety and they look really good. The whole design of the game looks amazing for being a completely 90s like retro look. It still looks really good. They managed to make or mix the 90s with also some modern graphics. And so it really makes it look amazing. Like the fireballs that they shoot, those look realistic and good. But then the enemy looks like a KKK member.
Oh god.
I'm not making that as a joke. Legitimately, I'm looking at this. I'm hoping to find one in the Steam. No, they don't have any screenshots with those guys in them, because I want to show those because they look exactly like KKK members.
You're bad. Murdering them, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. You stand against racism. Then you also have like these weird chainsaw dudes, which are the first enemies you see in the game, and they look like Freddy Krueger with overalls and a sack.
Hmm.
And then the only reason I say they look like Freddy Krueger is because they're wearing plaid. There's no actual connection to Freddy Krueger at all. But basically, helpful. Yeah, they're just wearing plaid with overalls, and they have a sack on their head, and then they chase you around with chainsaws, and they're kind of fat. And then you have the very tall scarecrow men with shotguns. And then I don't want to spoil all of the enemies because some of them come as a surprise. There is military people that are possessed, though. Those are in the game.
Yeah, we covered that part.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm making sure. Or what did I call them? Military people who weren't nice?
something like that.
But
you're a schmuck.
And then the boss fight's pretty cool, minus the fact that I found the very secret rivet gun, and I don't know how secret it actually is, but it was a secret. It was in a secret location. And basically, the rivet gun is the game's big, bad, like, BFG-style gun.
So it's like the instant murderer.
Basically, and so I took it to the boss. It still took all of my, like, 25 shots, so it took a lot, but it was like, I murked him with almost no problem because I just took that thing in there and just destroyed. And so if you find that, I mean, good job. I found it right before the last level, so it wasn't really a hassle for me.
Nice. So I'm hearing a lot of good about the game. Any negatives to it?
The sound design is incredibly loud. I think I turned it down in game because I had to, but it still felt like it was loud with certain noises. Like, the ones that are meant to be sharp are a little too sharp and a little louder than they should be compared to the rest of it. Mm. And so, I mean, it would make me jump, and I guess that's the point of it, but it would also just hurt my ears because I wear headphones to play games. Yeah. But if you come in fully prepared for that, you know that they happen on a somewhat regular level, you learn to anticipate them more, and they are less painful as the time goes. I feel like there isn't a whole lot of negatives to it, just because, I mean, I played it on the accessible difficulty, so I don't know if it's complete bullshit on the other ones, but the fact that you can change the difficulty means it doesn't matter if it's bullshit on the others, because you don't have to play on those.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to play any of the multiplayer because at the time I was trying to play, there was nobody. But
that's the joys of pre-release. So
exactly. It just came out. Like, there's not going to be a whole lot of people playing it yet. It's already getting really good reviews, and it has a lot of people reviewing it. Like, it has almost 2,000 reviews on Steam already.
Damn.
So people are buying it, but I think a lot of them are playing it because of the single player and the fact that, I mean, at the time of the original Doom, the only multiplayer was really, like, split screen. And even that, in a first-person shooter, wasn't really imaginable yet.
Yeah. It's in an overwhelmingly positive on Steam, so it sounds like they're doing something right.
No, the game is beautiful. The gunplay is amazing. I love the design and the different environments that you run through. It's an incredible game. It's, like, much better than a lot of other games in the same genre trying to imitate the 90s look, because right now that's a very popular thing going around, where a lot of games are trying to be the 90s first-person shooters. And this one, I think, nails what 90s shooters are. It feels just like Doom, but with vast improvements in modernization thrown into it.
Awesome. So overall, $20 on it. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely worth the $20. One thing I forgot to mention that makes it even more modern is the fact that you can dash slide, which is awesome, and it looks incredible doing it. Like, if you're running and you press the crouch button, you just slide. That's awesome.
And I hear the soundtrack is incredible.
Oh my god, it's orgasmic. That's all I got to say about that. That's literally the best thing you can describe anything, because the best thing a human can feel is an orgasm.
Yeah, I know the soundtrack's available on Andrew Holschultz Bandcamp, so you might want to check that out.
Yeah, do it. I don't really mess with Bandcamp because I've never used it before. But if that's your thing, get it, because it's good. Or just buy the game and have the soundtrack. Buy the official soundtrack with it in the Intruder Edition.
Nice. CJ, it is always good having you on. I know you're about to duck out. We have a lot more reviews we got to take care of. So do you have any final words?
Play more Fortnite. Yeah.
No.
That was supposed to be like, comment, and subscribe.
Drifter out.
I'm disappointed.
It's your boy.
All right, moving on. Now that CJ's gone, we could continue on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, this is the good part. Fuck CJ.
Yeah, fuck CJ. He was brutal tonight.
He was unnecessarily savage.
He was. He was okay. He was just cutting us down like crazy. But we got a couple back at him.
Yeah. If I wasn't, you know, so sick and feeling gloomy that I could be like, I'd be punching a little harder, but... I got issues, clearly. So
yeah. I like how earlier in the show I made mention that we were going to cut up the recording so that you could feel better. And here we are a day later. And you're not feeling any better.
I don't feel any better. That's a thing. Excuse me. At least, I mean, I know. There is no excuse for me. At least my back feels a little better. Like, I was actually up walking some about an hour ago. So I am mobile. I used my cane today. I didn't have my husband breathing down my neck to use the walker instead. So, you know, take your success and failures where they are, I suppose. But
I guess so.
Yeah.
I have all my cats around me right now. They are all like, what the hell is?
I only have one cat with me.
I've got three around me right now.
That's not all. That's a third? I can't math.
Close.
It's a third of the cats. And also, one of them is mine. You're just borrowing her.
No, Predator's not around me right now.
Oh, Predator needs to be around.
No.
We need more black cats.
No, because she doesn't shut up when she's in here.
Mm-hmm.
I have a water bottle in here for when she comes in, because when she comes in, it's because she wants her probiotic, because she's irritating, and she comes in and she just meows like crazy. No.
I have one black cat with me. Raven is over here on the desk. I don't know. Gabriel is pouting at me today because he got a mouse this morning and I took it away from him. So he's not my fan at the moment.
Yeah, we have some mouse traps set up. We're getting mice for the winter, and we have eight cats and we have mouse problems. What the fuck?
We don't have any problems. The crazy thing is, like, when I got Gabriel, he was so tiny and little, and I was like, oh, you're just the best tiny little thing ever. And then, like, a week later, that tiny little adorable big-eyed kitten had already killed, like, seven mice. And I was like, you are a vicious murder beast.
You are a murderer.
And he has not slowed down. Like, there is the moment a mouse peeks its squirrely little head into this house, it's dead. That's all there is to it. Bye. You are a poor, unfortunate soul. And the funny thing is, we had Raven for about a month, and we were like, Gabe must really have the mice thing on lock and key, because Raven, we've never seen him with a mouse. Gabe comes to bed with me at night, but Raven actually sleeps in the girls' room.
Girls' is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look.
Just going to accept it and let you move on.
It was just a little extra pronunciation. Let's roll with it. But he sleeps in the girls' room. And now I'm all fucked up from that. But, like, apparently he's clearly concerned that they're not getting enough to eat because he left a mouse by their door the other morning. And I was like, oh, that's bad. But kudos to him. He finally got one.
Tynus in the chat is asking why Carnage is not on the podcast anymore. Carnage? I don't know, because he spends too much time making puns.
Yeah.
And we don't get any work done. And I say that because we're supposed to be doing reviews right now and we're not getting any work done.
We are getting nothing done and I've got an hour until my kids get home.
All right. So we're going to move on. We have a couple more reviews we got to take care of. The next game to talk about is called Thronebreaker: The Witcher Tales, developed and published by CD Projekt Red, released December 4th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Thronebreaker spins a truly regal tale of Meave, a war veteran queen of two northern realms, Lyria and Rivia. Facing an imminent Nifgardian invasion, Meave is forced once again to enter the warpath and set out on a dark journey of destruction and revenge. Cole, tell us about it.
Pronounced Nifgard again. That was funny.
Nilfgaardian?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know if it's any better. I can't pronounce it either. So, you know how sometimes we go into these review games and based on the franchises that some of these games are from, we kind of already start off with, like, these preconceived notions of what we're going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and throw all your notions out about this game. Even though it says Thronebreaker and, you know, it's from the Witcher series, and it does have its roots in the Witcher universe, this is actually a 2D isometric RPG, which already puts it way out of league from what the Witcher is.
Just a little.
You also play as the Queen Maeve, and as far, like, I have the Witcher games and I haven't played them. I know. It's a thing. It's a recurring thing that happens. But shame. As far as the Witcher universe goes, this is set during the second Nilfgaard War, which is apparently a prequel to the Witcher trilogy. As I said, you play of Queen Maeve. She's the ruler of Lyria and Rivia, and she has gone on this, I guess in a roundabout way, you would call it the warpath. You know, as the war is raging through, you have to guide her through this and help her make her decisions on on what kind of ruler she's going to be. Every decision that you make affects the game in some way. Not all of them are good. It may affect the types of characters who remain in your party throughout the duration of the game, who's by your side, who becomes a foe as opposed to being a friend. And you have to realize and come to terms with the fact that you can't keep everybody happy all the time. And you have to make decisions that are going to benefit your kingdom or benefit your pocketbook. Or, you know, sometimes you have to do things that you feel may not be the most moral, but are unfortunately necessary. Mm. There's never really a right or wrong way to play the game. It's just that everything you do is going to have some kind of consequence. I love that the characters that we encounter are all multifaceted, very well-written characters, including Queen Maeve herself. The dialogue is actually, it's pretty much what you expect when you hear somebody say The Witcher. Like this kind of well-written, solid dialogue that makes sense in context. There's not anything where you go, well, that was just a useless one-liner. You know, everything is rooted to the story and it feels like it has a purpose. For gameplay, like I said, it is a 2D isometric RPG, but there's actually card combat. So as Maeve, you explore the realm, everything has this incredible, artistic, sketchy looking art style that's really beautifully illustrated. And it's all very flat. But as you explore, you'll look for certain materials that you need for your army. You need to recruit troops. You need to, find materials and resources like wood for upgrades of your camp. And you need to find gold. Not every way you go about finding these things is honorable. And you sometimes have to grapple with the terms of that. But, when you actually come across a battle sequence in the game, the person who it's much like the old school turn-based RPG games, whereas the first person to instigate the battle is the one who makes the first move. But the combat system is card-based. So you have to focus on deck building. You have to focus on creating a hand that's going to be useful and help you actually win. There's different types of cards ranging from, you know, rising up the farmers in the field who will come to your aid, to archers, to generals who can give extra orders. They all have their place and their purpose. The combat field, the playing table, if you will, is laid out into four rows, two for the enemy, two for the player. You have Queen Maeve on the side, as well as whoever you're going against. They will generate an order that can be used to help you out, but it will have a cooldown period of a certain number of turns. The basic rule is that You want to have more power on the field than your enemy.
That's usually how it is in war. You want to be more powerful than your opponent.
Yes. So each card has a power number. Some of them will be as small as 2, whereas others can be 15, 20, 25. They all have their own different perks and rules. You can put the war wagon down and it will generate 2 additional cards to the right. Or you can put down the archers and they can take away some of the power from the other side. It's definitely all about strategy and using your deck in the best way possible. Some of these battles are against supernatural forces. Some of them are against other war units, and some are just against the elements. Some of them are puzzles. For example, I came across a rabid cow, and I had to take out the rabid cow before it took out the other cows in the pasture at the same time.
Interesting.
I come across a rock slide, and I had to break up the boulders before they got to my character.
All through card battle?
All through card battle. It's really creative how they've gone through and created all these different battle scenarios. One of the neat things about the puzzle battles as well is that the cards that you have for those are separate, and usually there's some kind of modified rule set for the puzzles. So that you're not just stacking up your deck to where you're going to annihilate no matter what you come across. Sometimes you just have to deal with what's there.
Yeah.
And then they'll change up the rules like, oh, this is a shortened battle. It only has 1 round as opposed to a normal battle that has 3. And the winner, best 2 out of 3 wins. So it's a very interesting way to go about it. It keeps things fresh so you feel like you're not just, you know, playing the same cards over and over because they're overpowered. Sometimes you just have to think of different ways to use the cards. One thing that I thought was really interesting is that there's a few different difficulties. And of course, you know, the harder ones make resources more scarce and things like that. But there's actually a story mode difficulty. And you can play through the game and skip the battles.
Interesting.
And you'll still get the resources as if you won. I played it on story mode, even though I didn't skip the battles. I didn't feel like I needed to, but when I was going into it, I was like, I have no idea what I'm getting into here. And I want that option. Now, in the harder difficulties, they take that option away. But obviously, for story mode, if you're stuck, you can just press X and skip it and go on and continue to get the story. You're not locked down to a place where you're stuck. You can just keep going. And then if you find that you're stuck and you do use that skip, that gives you the chance to go back and look at the deck you have been building and change it up before you get to the next fight.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually a really accessible way to play the game that, you know, I would have never looked at this and thought that's something I can get through. But I had so much fun just working my way through and learning how to play the battles and just exploring and listening to the stories of the side characters and discovering the quests and everything. It was just so much fun.
Nice. So overall, $30 on this one. What do you think of it?
I think $30 for it's a steal. It's a lengthy game. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of different ways to play it. And I think you're going to have a good time with it. I give it a buy it.
Nice. This one has been on my wish list. I might have to bite the bullet and pick it up.
I think you should. I was so shocked by it because I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about a Witcher game when I haven't played the others, but it's far enough removed from the rest of the series while still being rooted in that universe that I felt like I was comfortable with it even without the context.
Yeah. And now you have an excuse to go back and play The Witcher 3.
I do, because I have 2 and 3 and they're just sitting there.
Yeah, you should play The Witcher 3.
I know.
You should.
Next.
Next game to talk about is called Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek, developed by Dynamic Pixels, published by Tiny Build, released December 7th on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $29.99, also available on iOS with a free initial download and a $14.99 full game unlock. Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek follows the tragic story of the neighbor's family in this dramatic prequel to Hello Neighbor. Experience playing a game of hide and seek with your brother as you both deal with the loss of a family member. The game explains events that lead up to the original stealth horror hit Hello Neighbor. Cole, tell us about Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek.
I gotta say, first and foremost, how long was the first Hello Neighbor in development for? Like, it was in early access for a long ass time. And then all of a sudden they're like, surprise, here's the sequel. Or prequel, surprise, sequel. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, you don't need another 94 years of development? What happened? I don't understand. It kind of becomes apparent, though, pretty quickly that a lot of the things that plagued the first Hello Neighbor game are still present in this one. Yeah, there's a few quirks and some glitches. For the story, it is a prequel. It takes place with the events prior to what we see in the first Hello Neighbor, and it gives us some kind of closure and explanation for some of the things that happened in the first game. A lot of people struggled with the symbolism in the first Hello Neighbor and the hints and the clues, and there were so many rumors and what happened, and people were genuinely confused. Although I felt like there were some pretty decent hints as to what had occurred. And then when you go back and you play hide and seek, you're sitting there going, I was right. And I didn't want to be right, because my theory was pretty damn grim. it is a horror game, and just things are pretty horrifying, especially toward the end. As opposed to playing a neighborhood kid exploring the neighbor's home, this time we are actually playing as the children of the neighbor. His daughter, Maya, and his son, Aaron, takes the role of the lurking AI that is your problem throughout the game. Most of the game is set in almost like the children's imaginations, if you will. When kids say the floor is lava, so in this case, you would see like evidence. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Rather than say the floor is lava, like say if a kid is playing like a safari game and they're like, I'm in the jungle, you would imagine they would kind of see the room that they're in imagined with like tall grass and jungle trees and wild animals. So that's kind of the way that they've set up the different levels in hide and seek. So we see as we take control of Maya, we see that, you know, the living room kind of devolves into this diorama of a jungle, and there's tall grass littered with like bits of the living room, like a lamp here and a chair there. It's really kind of a charming and adorable way to look at the world, which kind of makes the ending all that more difficult to swallow.
Well, don't go into the ending. I'm not going
to spoil it, but, it's a difficult game to swallow. It is hide and seek, and there isn't a neighbor, but it's the same stealth gameplay mechanics. But this time, instead of trying to hide from the neighbor, you have Maya trying to hide from her brother, Aaron. Again, we see a lot of the same quirks with the AI that we had in Hello Neighbor, where they're kind of an advanced AI. They will start to pick up if you're going the same routes trying to solve a puzzle. They will start to kind of lurk that route. However, if you take off and climb something and kind of get up high, the AI stops chasing you. It's like he forgets you exist once you're above like 6 inches off the ground.
Oh, God. Get it out.
I know, I'm trying. Cough it up. It's not mine. but it's an interesting quirk that realistically, I don't know if you can play the game without it. Because it can be fairly difficult. There is, if you are struggling, there is a friendly mode, which we saw was added to Hello Neighbor after its initial release because people were complaining about the difficulty. The AI will still chase you down, but they won't set traps.
Mm.
Excuse me. But now with it, it's not exactly as friendly as it sounds. Like they're still going to chase you. They're still going to look for you. They're still going to pick up on the sounds that you make. So you do still have to be careful. It just makes it a little tiny bit easier. Could make it a lot easier. The other aspect that we've seen added is a hint system, which this game really freaking needs. Hello Neighbor, the first one needed it. This one has it at least, where if you're really struggling with a puzzle, you can turn on the hint system and it will actually put arrows in the, you know, to point to where you need to be looking at and where you need to go. It doesn't totally give it away, but it at least points to, hey, you might be interested in this spot.
I just like that there's giant arrows pointing.
Yeah, they look like they're drawn in crayon.
Hey, look over here.
Like they're drawn in chalk, just hanging in the air. But it's a neat way to be like, yeah, dumbass, you're lost here. In addition to that, there's also the ability to reset the level, and you can actually have Maya be picked up by a crow who carries her back to the beginning of the level so that you can try again if you've really fucked up. I fucked up a lot.
Shocker. I am blown away by that revelation.
There's an achievement for getting restarted 20 times.
Did you get it?
I got that one.
Nice.
I did. But I just thought it was a really good thing for the game to have the ability to reset yourself and to get some hints, and because you can get so lost and so confused in this game, and that's if you're not, you know, like totally shocked and stunned and sitting still and like not wanting to move with the revelations of what has happened to this family.
I swear, the more you talk about it, the closer you are to revealing what's happening.
I'm really not.
Although I think they kind of give it away in a trailer.
They do. Yeah. And I was like, well, son of a bitch. But, and I think too, like I said, if you played the first one and you really paid a lot of attention to it, not everybody did. Some people just blew through it and got the achievements and were like, that's it. And they're probably going to be surprised when they play this one. They're going to be like, shit, I didn't see that coming. But anybody else that actually played the first one and paid attention to the story of what was actually going on, yeah, you might find some of your fears realized. But it's harsh. It's a harsh game with a harsh ending that's like wrapped up in this kid-friendly experience. I just wish that they had learned a few more lessons and it had not been as clunky as it was. And maybe they'll work on it some more. Maybe they'll just keep getting better because they have made a lot of improvements to the Hello Neighbor franchise. So,
well, then overall $30 on Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek. What do you think of it?
I'm going to give it a try, especially if you like the first. You're probably going to be pretty happy with it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Just be prepared because it is a fierce game for the emotions.
Buckle up because shit gets heavy.
Yeah. Buckle up, Buttercup.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms, developed and published by Codename Entertainment, released December 11th on PS4, December 14th on Xbox One, is a free-to-play game with in-game microtransactions. Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms, an official free-to-play Dungeons & Dragons-based idle strategy management game. Assemble a party of champions and master the art of formation strategy. Upgrade your heroes, collect unique gear, and unlock new champions in regular new events. Cole, what is Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms?
So this is Dungeons & Dragons meets Clicker Heroes.
Sold. But
yeah, that's pretty much, that's the long and short of it. It really is. I was like, oh, yeah, this is Dungeons & Dragons, and I'm not even familiar with Dungeons & Dragons, but I recognize that this is what this is supposed to be. And then I'm like, oh, I'm clicking the A button or the B button and just beat over and over, and things are happening, and I know this gameplay mechanic. This is Clicker Heroes. That is not at all a bad thing. It's amazing how much you can, like, sit down and start clicking B, and suddenly you've lost 72 hours, and you're like, oh.
Oh, my God, but, you don't even know.
But I have so much gold now.
I have so many heroes to buy.
And so many levels to upgrade, and you're just, like, the more that you purchase the more powerful characters and you upgrade them, the further you're going to make it, the more gold you're getting per drop. And you're just like, I am an unstoppable force with my B button. And you just want to keep pushing the B button.
And then you complete the adventure and you start all over again.
Yeah, that was depressing.
But then you, but then the good news is you get to start all over again and you get to rebuild everything.
Yeah, but it's still depressing. You'd be like, son of a bitch, I lost everything. you get to keep your equipment. Your equipment, but you lose your characters and you got to start all over again. That is much not like Clicker Heroes, because Clicker Heroes keeps going for fucking ever.
Oh, no, you can reset Clicker Heroes.
Yeah, but it's more of like an option as opposed to you don't have a choice in this one.
Well, in Clicker Heroes, you kind of have to if you want to progress further in the game. So it's nice. I enjoyed with Idle Champions that they kind of force you into resetting so that you can't just keep going and you just hit that wall and make no progress. They kind of force you to reset and reevaluate. And they'll put different twists on what you have to do. They'll put obstacles in the formation that you have to work around. You have to get further than you did last time. More bosses that you have to go up against. It forces you to reevaluate the formation of the characters and how you want to optimize the layout of the characters to get the most damage per character.
That is true. And I like to just click forever. I just want to be overpowered and hitting my B button, Joe.
You want to know what I loved about this game that you mentioned hitting the B button? You can hold the B button to click.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Because Clicker Heroes wore me out pressing A all the time.
Yeah, and in this game, you could just hold the button down, and it mm-hmm. doesn't click super fast, but it's a steady, regular click that... You could just sit there and hold the button. Then, of course, you know, go ahead.
You know what you could do?
Huh.
You had an Xbox adaptive controller. You just put a book on the button.
Oh, God.
And let it do it for you.
Yeah, there you go. Joe, that's
brilliant.
You're getting me sick, I think.
Enjoy. Want a cough drop?
Yes, just send it to me over the internet.
I'm not allowed to. David says it clogs up the router.
So yeah, I'm not sure what else we could say about Idle Champions. It's a clicker game. It is an idle management game that you just have to keep at it and keep going and keep unlocking characters. And what else is there to talk about in a game like this?
There's really not, and that was one of the things that kind of made me sad about it. I was just like, I had a lot of fun, but when it's it, and you just start over.
I mean, the best thing that you could say is that when you're having fun with it, you're having, like, I'm sitting here doing these reviews with you, and I'm just itching to get back to Idle Champions and keep playing it.
You just want to hold that B button. I'm telling you, an adaptive controller with a book on the B button, and you're done. You're like, you're going to come back, and you're going to have so much gold. Then you're going to buy all the upgrades, and then you're going to have to start all over again. That won't do you any good.
Well, see, the good thing is once you start over, you know, it makes it easier because you earn, what is it, Torn?
Yeah,
is the currency true. That you earn, and as you earn more of it, it lets you earn gold quicker in your following playthroughs. I completed my second adventure, and now I get an 88% bonus to gold that I pick up. And I literally just completed my second adventure before we started, so my guys are all like level one, and I need to get back to the game so I can get back and progress some more, so I could get more characters. So I could progress further so that I could get more characters.
So that we could start over again and do it again.
Indeed. I love clicker games. I have a lot of fun with them. I appreciate the fact that they have different adventures that you could go on. I think the biggest negative to this game is that there might be too much content and people aren't going to see all of it.
That's true. Yeah.
Because there's an absurd number of adventures that you could go on with different difficulties and different target levels that you have to get to. And, you know, they take time to get through. Obviously, this isn't a game that you're meant to play for 4 hours straight. It's meant to be something that you check in on. You progress your levels. You level up your characters. You get new characters if you can, if you could afford them. Maybe stick with it for 10, 15 minutes to see how far you could get. But it's meant to pick up and play for a little bit, set it down, and come back the next day and rework.
That is what I like best about it, though, is that you can just, you don't have to sit and hoard over it to get anywhere. You can come back tomorrow and you'll have beat shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm never mad at that kind of adult gameplay. It's like, oh, this game is just going in the background and I'll come back to it tomorrow before I have to review it and see what it's done. Meanwhile, I've got to go play more Thronebreaker.
And that's the beauty of idle games, is you could pick up and play it for a few minutes in between other games that you're playing, and that's kind of how they're designed to be played.
Yeah. I like that, though. I like that, you know, oh, I've got a break. I'm going to play Call of Duty, and then I'm going to switch over to Rocket League. But first, let me load up idle, you know.
Yeah, give me 15 minutes. I got to check my idle champions
and
real quick.
See how they're doing, and then I'll come and play. And it was nice to do that. Just check in and be like, look at all this shit I got while I was gone playing something else. You feel like you did something big, even though you were just like letting that shit idle.
Very true. So as a free-to-play game, I got to say this is absolutely something worth downloading and checking out. First off, it's free. So there's no reason not to grab it and try it.
Indeed. We need a rating for try it or for free games that isn't buy it.
Download it.
Okay. Yeah. Does it rhyme? But go for it.
It's something worth playing. You know, it's worth downloading for free and playing. In terms of the in-game microtransactions, you can spend money to buy chests in the game, or you could power up characters, get unique items, buy different heroes that you could swap out the characters that are in the game with different characters. That's entirely up to you if you feel it's worth dropping the money on. Personally, I'm probably going to drop, you know, $5-$10 on some chests just to support the developers and get some unique items.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to do.
I could see it if you really enjoyed it enough and you want to see more of what there is in the later levels, where like after you've restarted a few times, then dropping a couple bucks could help you out and helps the devs.
Help you go quicker.
Yeah,
definitely worth checking out. Absolutely.
I agree.
One last game to talk about tonight is called Big Crown Showdown, developed by Hyperluminal Games, published by Sold Out, released December 14th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $12.99. Big Crown Showdown sees friends become foes as they compete for the crown in four-player local and online multiplayer combat. Set over three wacky worlds full of medieval shenanigans, avoid perilous hazards, engage in frantic fights as you attempt to knock your opponents off 15 crazy courses in the ultimate royal battle. Cole, tell us about Big Crown Showdown.
I got a question first.
Okay.
Did this come to Game Pass?
I don't believe so.
This is a game that really, really, really would benefit from Game Pass. So you can play local, multiplayer, or online, which is fantastic. I always say more games to get online. You know, it's great that that's even an option. But when I tried to find an online game, and again, play pre-release, and I play early ass in the morning, so it's not a surprise, but I wasn't really able to find anybody online to play with. I waited forever. I never found a match.
Well, pre-release, so.
Yeah.
That's going like to happen.
Say, you know, that's a thing that happens. But I imagine that Game Pass, if that proves to be a problem post-launch to have that kind of community. I always worry with a multiplayer game that's smaller like this and where it's multiplayer only, like what the community is going to look like in it long-term.
Yeah.
I really hope they consider Game Pass for this, because otherwise, this game's a blast. I actually played it with all three of my kids.
I was going to say, you have the built-in multiplayer down there.
You get a controller, and you get a controller, and you get a controller. Everybody's playing a game with Mom. So you play as four little knights. I can't remember the actual name for the characters. It starts with a G. I thought I wrote it down, but I guess I didn't.
Boo.
I know, I made bad notes. I'm sick. But you play as these little knights, and you have all these different levels, and it's kind of like a speedrunners type game, but it's not speedy. But the idea is to fight with each other. You can punch or block with your shield and try to knock each other off. You have a certain amount of lives for each level, and whoever gets to the end of the level with the most amount of lives wins. So A, don't get knocked off.
Easy and B, enough.
Knock off everybody else. It sounds easy until your children decide that they're going to gang up on you and start trying to teach you why. In which case, I said, hey, guys, I didn't tell you there's a shield button. And then when they charge up their attack and they come running at Mom, and I'm like, nope, hit the shield. And then they get reflected off. And then I'm like, ah.
Gotcha, suckers. I'm the best.
So, as far as how many different levels and options for playing this goes, there isn't any story, so it's all legitimately just multiplayer stuff. There's 15 levels with three different areas. Five of the levels look like they're on a castle type setting. Five of them are snowy with frost machines that will freeze you in place. And the other five are like a desert area. You can just click quick start and the game will mix and match and pick 10 of those levels. And what you do is, you just play through the playlist of levels on repeat until somebody has finished often enough with enough lives to hit the cap level. If you're playing quick match, that's 20. So you could, if you can get through four levels without losing any lives, that's all it would take. But if you keep dying and everybody's losing lives and you're only getting 2 or 3 points per run, then it's going to take you a little longer.
Yeah.
And then if you play through them all, it just hit repeats and starts through them again. You can also set up your own playlist of the levels, and you can put them in any order you want with up to 10 levels of the 15 chosen to run. And again, it will just loop through them over and over again. You can set up how long the matches take, how many lives you have, you know, what your final score needs to be, if you give extra points for winning, how fast the camera pans through the map, and if you get bonus points for knocking each other out. So there's a lot of different options. You can customize it if you want longer games, shorter games. I played longer games against number one. Number three was starting to get a little pissy around the end of the second level. And you're like, yeah, we play shorter games with her. but it was just a lot of fun. Everybody was giggling. Even when we were just playing like 2v2 or with three of them and not all four of us at once, it performed beautifully. There wasn't any screen lag, no tearing. It was a lot of fun. Everybody had plenty of laughs, and we really enjoyed the game.
Plus, there's online play. So if you don't have friends like me,
yes, then you can play with me.
Yes,
that's if I actually remember that you sent me an invite and answer it.
Well, then overall, $13 on this one. What do you think of it?
I did give it a very recommended try it. I think $13 when there's 15 levels and multiplayer is the only aspect of it can be a little steep. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping for DLC for extra levels in the future, though.
Cool.
Yep.
And there's online. Which is always a... I love stressing online in indie games because...
this is not enough.
Yeah. There's how many people that release their indie games that don't have online, so rock on if you take the time to implement online into your game.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
It's definitely appreciated. Like I said, when I clicked it and I saw all that, I was so giddy. I was like, oh, that's great. And yay. I'm sad I didn't get to try it out because, you know, pre-release. But I'm looking forward to it. I hope. I actually kind of want to try it this weekend since we do have two Xboxes. I want to try and see how it plays with the two Xboxes, if we can find each other or if I can just invite number one while she's on her console. But we were playing local because all four of us were playing.
Well, shoot me an invite. I'll play with you.
Sounds good.
Cool. So that is it for this episode. It's probably not early enough for you because you feel like shit, but we made it.
Yay!
We made it! Yay!
Hooray. Maybe next week I'll sound less like shit.
Maybe. Music this episode is going to be from The Game Composer's Christmas Volume 3 from Scarlet Moon Records and Materia Collective. So check that out. A lot of good stuff on there. I'm going to play a couple of songs from that. And that's it for this show. Cole, do you have any final words to end it all?
I can't even say any words.
You just said a bunch of words. Don't give me that shit.
I said too many and I'm done.